Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I was talking to a young lady before service, and she's in church, and she's got Jesus. And boy, that's getting it going the right way. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm excited for you to be here today, because anytime you come out to put yourself in a position where you can experience God, he says that he will come inhabit the praises of his people. Amen. So I want you to know that the presence of the Lord has been good in this house, and it's here this morning to touch your life. Amen. And this morning, we're just going to reach towards God through worship, through praise, through preaching. We're just going to reach towards God and experience what he has for us today. Amen. Hallelujah.
Run to Jesus. I'm gonna run. awake, it's time to rise. Throw off chains, run to the light of freedom. You are freedom. Come awake, it's time to rise. Throw off chains, run to the light of freedom. You are freedom. I'm gonna run.
didn't know God was going to have me share this, but he said, you're going to see your victory if you keep your eyes off the situation. I was reminded of a situation that happened several years ago. But to get the real gist of what he's trying to say here, I'm going to tell you, we were on vacation, and my husband and I had gone into this Ferris wheel, got on this Ferris wheel, and we rode it. It was all enclosed. You had air, everything. They had you really safe in there. And we rode it during the day so we can get the views of the mountains and stuff like that. And then we rode it in the evening so we could get the night lights, and loved it. We talked another couple into doing it another night with us. And this other couple got scared in this. And I was thinking it was funny, and I was videotaping them because I'm thinking, we just loved it. It was beautiful. We were safe. And here you are, you know, you're walking, you're fearing. This is making you nervous. But as I was videotaping them, I took my focus off the beauty, and my focus was on the fear that they had. And guess what came up on me? I got scared in there where twice before I wrote it, and no fear. The third time I wrote it, and I wrote it with fear, made a whole lot of difference in the atmosphere and in the situation. So God's saying, take your eyes off the situation, no matter what it is. Take your eyes off the situation and keep them focused on me.
Just a legend of old. him. You sing this to him with the confidence to know that you know he's got you. Let him know that you know he's got you. There's a confidence, and when that confidence comes, listen, if I would go to fall off of the stage right now, I would have at least four people run to me to catch me. It's going to be Philip, it's going to be Phil, it's going to be Jeannie, and it's going to be Logan. I have a confidence in it. Why? Because I know them. When you know somebody, you know what to expect from them, right? So when you know God, not just I've heard him, not just the preachers talked about him, not just I go to church on one or two days a week and that's all the God I need. No, it's not. Because you don't know him in that little bit of time if you're not seeking him in the middle. What pastors preach all over this world is good, that are preaching the word, obviously. But it's never going to sustain one life by itself. Never. Your relationship. You know, I was reading in the Word. I know. Surprise. No, just kidding. Matthew 16, where it talks about Jesus asking the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they say, oh, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that, which is crazy because John the Baptist was alive when he was alive. So that was kind of a weird one. But Elias, some say that you're a prophet, just a prophet. And then he turns to Simon Peter and says, but who do you say that I am? He said, you are Lord, you are the Son of the living God, you are Christ Jesus. Bless you, because flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. My Father, which is in heaven, has revealed that to you. What does that mean? That means he took the time to have a relationship with the Father and heard from the Father who Jesus was. He didn't take what people said around him. Because why? Because they didn't think that he was Christ, the living God. He thought he didn't know. They didn't know he was the Son of the living God, that he was God here on earth. That's not what they said. So he wasn't listening to everybody around him. He was listening to the one who knew. Sometimes you just got to listen. Not sometimes. Every time. You have to listen to the one who knows. Who do you say that Jesus is? Listen, I've been pondering this for a week or so now since I've read this, and I just keep going back over it. And every morning, eat something different to me. There's a morning I need peace. And he drops in and says, I'm your peace. There's times my stomach was hurting, and I just pray, or Phil would pray, and he drops in and he's my healer. Amen. He's my best friend. Why? Because when I am feeling horrible and I just don't know how to express this, I talk to him. He's the first person I think to talk to. And then I'll go to Phil. You know, he is my all in all. Who is he to you? He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's broken the chains of bondage off of me. He's my corrector. He brings correction to me. A lot. And I love it because then it changes me better into the image of who he is. God needs to know that you know who he is. You say God knows everything. Yep, he does. And he knows the ones that are singing a song just to sing a song. Listen, and we can change that right today. We can change the reason we sing to him. It's not a show. We've told you that. We don't care who's leading a song up here. We don't care who's playing an instrument up here, except for we want the people God told to be up here. Amen? These people are sold out to the Lord. They will step up at any time or step down at any time. John stepped up for us today because they want to lead you into the presence of God, because they know that this is a place that's free for God to come in and move. And our prayers before we start is, Father God, inhabit the praises of your people this morning. Inhabit their praises. But if you're just singing a song, it's not praise. If you're just repeating what you're hearing or reading words off of a screen, listen, some of you will shout more and have shouted more when you were younger and went to concerts than you will for God. And if he's delivered you, and he has because you're here, right? If we could go around this room and tell you the stories of what God has done for each of us, how he's delivered and he set us free. There's some people that are shouting and dancing and raising their hands and clapping to the Lord. Why? Because when much has been given, we appreciate more. Right? Amen. Amen. So we're going to just sing this a couple more times through. And I just, please, forget who is in this room. Forget who is in this room. It's you and Jesus. Amen. Jesus, I thank you that you've pulled us in, that you have pulled us in and you've never walked away, you've never looked away, you've never gone away from us, that at all times you're standing there waiting for us. I felt faith arise in this building just now, Lord God, and I thank you that faith is arising in the hearts of your people right now. Where hope has been lost, let hope return in the name of Jesus. Father God, where there's no peace, I speak peace over them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, some people need to laugh again. Some people need joy restored unto them. They forget that joy doeth good like a joy do a merry heart good like a medicine. Amen. Lord, let them have joy. We pray over them right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, give them a peace that situation that you've got going on, I got it for you. You just focus on me. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. In the end, you're going to say, wow. That, wow, he says. You're going to look at it and you're going to say, it ended better than I ever thought it would. That's more than I'd hoped for. You just keep focusing on me. Hallelujah.
Even gone to win my war. God was really pushing me during the last song that I needed to come up here and share this, and I'm not entirely sure why, but I'm sure he does. 5 years ago, I had found myself in a very hopeless situation, and I was very depressed, and I had gotten to the point where I just wanted to end my life. I had stolen a bunch of medicine from my mom and had pulled into a random road. I didn't even know where I was at. I just kept driving, and I pulled over and I said, God, if you care at all, if you care at all, make it stop. Send somebody to save me because I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And my mom, I don't even know how she knew where I was at. And she wasn't even serving God at the time, but she pulled up and she said, what are you doing? And I just bawled. If you don't think God cares about you and your situation, no matter how hopeless it is, he does. And it doesn't matter if you can see it or not. He is standing there saying, come on, drop it. Give it to me. I want it because I can set you free from it.
Amen.
Introduced me to your
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My goodness, it's good to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. Amen, amen. You know, sometimes you just need to stay still. You know, sometimes we forget that the Bible says that when you've done your acts of faith, then it's time to stand. And you know, sometimes it's in the standing time that we fall down. It's in the standing time that we become a little bit shaken and we kind of forget that, hey, this is my time to just stay here and be still and know that the Lord has my back and that he's fixing what I'm going through and that he goes before me and behind me. Amen. And so we just want to be sure that we're making room for the Lord and that we're standing still in his presence at times and that we're really listening and hearing and tapping into our relationship.
And the enemy really has no tricks if we read the word and know his word.
Yep.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them from them.
Amen.
All.
Amen.
Right there. Peace. In every situation, peace.
Amen.
He's delivering me. No matter what's thrown at me, he's delivering me. The plan has been made. You know, when you're building a house, there's plans that are laid out for that house and how it should be made and how it should be built.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is put it up. The house is ready to go. It just needs to be put up.
Amen.
And once it's finished, you can move into it. But it doesn't mean it's not a house on the way.
That's right.
You're going to be able to go under it, find shelter, live in it, have fun, do your thing in that house.
Yep.
If you just wait till it's built.
Amen.
Wait. Wait on the Lord. Maybe there's something in you he's trying to refine. Maybe
Amen.
There's something in somebody around you that you're having to push through so they can grow. Will we not love them enough to allow them to grow?
Amen.
And pray for them during their journey?
Amen.
Even if they do get on our nerves?
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Praise
you
God.
Better stop it. Amen. No, I'm telling you, God is ready to do some great things. He is changing people. He is opening people's eyes. He is removing blinders. He's giving peace where you thought peace could never come. He really is. Like, there's some people that have faced some hardships. Like, man, God. Man, I see one of them sitting back there, and I just look at her, and I think, God, you are so good.
Yep.
You are so good.
All the time.
Amen.
Amen.
There are people that you just look at. Like all of you. I love all of you. And I know many of your stories. But man, you just smile on the inside and saying, God, I know what you brought her through. You know, that takes a lot for Amber to get up and to give that testimony. And to be so raw and open with you.
Yes. Amen.
But I believe she did it because somebody here needed to hear it.
Yep. Amen.
Somebody
amen.
May be struggling.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. And he's not a respecter of persons. What he did for Amber, what he's done for all of us, he'll do for you.
You know, it's kind of funny because I'm going to tell on myself. Where are you going?
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. I'm going to tell on myself because as a pastor, sometimes the Lord will tell you to do something right in the process of a sermon or right in the process of church service that wasn't part of the plan. And so it was funny because he says, hey, before you preach, I want you to have somebody come up and give a testimony, a very personal testimony. And I thought, I don't know if that's the Lord want me to do that. And so he provided that right during the worship service.
Amen.
So that was powerful.
Obedience. That was awesome. Amen.
Yep. Amen.
And we're so glad you're here. Praise
yes.
the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
How would we deal with Logan without Amber? That's no.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Logan and Amber. They're like our kids.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, okay. So ladies, remember May 7th, 9 o'clock here at the church, we're going to do, I'm going to get, if you're planning on coming, let me know, just so we have a count for food-wise. So just shoot me a text, an email, a private message, anything. Tell me, and I'll write it down real fast. If you're going to come to the women's breakfast, that we're also, it's going to be a Bible study, and different people will be leading the Bible study every month. So it's going to be the first Saturday of every month, just like we used to, except we're throwing this twist. And Miss Marie Miller, she's going to be our first one. So we're excited. Amen. Amen. And we do have some other exciting stuff coming up. I promise we do. We just have to
get it all together.
Get it all together and present it. We got Pompous coming up in July. We got VBS is coming up in July that we need to prepare for that. We've got some get-togethers for the
men.
Church. Listen, I'm out of that. Men, you ought to get on him. I'm just saying. I've had people ask me, when are the men too? And I said, you got to go talk to your pastor. Maybe the man that's asking need to go ahead and just set it. From
Amen.
My experience,
Amen.
From my experience, you should just take care of it and he'll
Amen.
Show up. Amen?
Hallelujah. There you
Words
go.
Of wisdom from somebody that's been with him since I've been 20 years old. What? No. Is he trying to crash our breakfast? No. Nope. No. Love you. Nope. Oh, yeah, you can do the dishes afterwards. You want service?
We can do our own day. We're not talking about just crashing your day. We'll crash your day and then do our own day.
Amen. Amen. Well, do your own. Set it up. I'm tired of hearing them cry. Set it up.
I will.
This is the husband-wife talk at home. Get done.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Cool. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and let Pastor Jared take the children and get them going. Hallelujah. Exciting, exciting stuff. Praise God. And then this morning, I just want to remind you for our offering message that the Bible says in Philippians 4:19 that the Lord will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. One of the reasons why the Lord wants you to be a tither and an offering giver is because it attaches your natural things to his supernatural kingdom and it gives him the right to intervene on your behalf. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord wants to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, not your riches and glory, his riches and glory. That means that what you have in the natural, when you bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord, he can touch and get in there. And what he does is he rebukes the devourer on your behalf. Amen? So he will remove Satan's ability to bring plans against you. And it also says that he will protect the things that you do. Amen? You know, just this past week or two, I've been hearing of people just telling me about how they're healed or how they got promoted or how they got a new job. And that's God's favor. God is just pouring out upon people, and so he's going to continue to do that. So we're going to pray and bring our offering to the front. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray this morning that according to your word, you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory, Father. And Lord, as we sow and as we release into your kingdom, God, you supernaturally return back to your people, Father. And Lord, I thank you that you rebuke the devourer on our behalf, and Lord, that you just increase us, God. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're just going to finish up this Sunday here with talking a little bit more about the good news. We celebrated the whole idea of Jesus' resurrection and how he was on the earth for 40 days after he resurrected, sending forth signs and things. And then it was the time for the Great Commission, and there was a time where he was telling his disciples the last words he had for them. And we're going to read that in Matthew 28, verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Wow, that's powerful. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. But what I wanted you to see here is that Jesus was giving his last words to the disciples. And what he was saying is that now that the work of the cross for me is finished, the most important thing is what you do with what you now know. He says, I'm commissioning you to go forward because the most important thing now is that you do with what you now know. And that was his commission to the disciples. Well, I want you to know that we still need what the world's needed from the beginning, right? There's an old song, isn't it? Jesus is the answer for the world today. Yeah. And let me tell you something. Jesus is still that answer for the world today. And I think that after every Easter, just like after every Resurrection Sunday celebration, just like we did here in the New Testament when Jesus spoke to his disciples, I think we need to remind ourselves that the most important thing that we can do now that we're saved and now that we've received what the Lord has given us is take our responsibility to be a part of that commission. Amen? Amen? And I want you to know something that the Bible says in Revelations 12. What does it say? Revelations 12, 11. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen? Yes. And so many times we forget that the most powerful thing we have to give to anyone is our testimony. Amen. You know, I want you to give people invites to church and I want you to bring people to church and that kind of things. But at the same time, the most important thing you're going to give them is a revelation of what God did for you and why you serve him. Yes. Amen? And I want you to know something, that when we first get saved, these things are already speaking for us. Amen? When we get saved and we change our behavior, say that we might be in someone who smoked, cussed, and drank a lot before we got saved. And when we got saved, that changed. People around you, before you even talk to them, they're already wondering what happened. Yeah. If you used to be a very angry and a bitter person, and all of a sudden now they see you with some joy in your face, let me tell you something. They're already wondering what happened. The impact of your salvation is already working for you. Before you ever speak to anybody, the impact of your salvation is already working on them. Amen? And then all we have to do is add our words to this thing. And I just want you to know that Jesus again said to his disciples, pray for laborers. I mean, the Bible already says that when sin abounds, grace will so much more abound, right? So if the world is looking rougher to us and things are looking darker to us, it means that the abundance of God's ability to do is more available now than it's ever been. And instead of being discouraged by what we see, it should give us a boldness to do what we can do. Amen? Because I want you to know that he called for laborers. Why? He said, the harvest is plenteous. The harvest is great. Listen, people in need are all over the place, man. He said, but I need you to pray that people will be willing to get out of their comfortable places and speak to people on my behalf. See, your testimony is what's going to help people come to the kingdom of God. Amen? Yes. Remember, the world was overcome by our faith. And these are things that we need to know that we're working on and that we're pushing through and that we're going to be a part of giving unto the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. I want to read something to you in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. And I'm just going to read through here. I'm going to start in verse 38. And it says, "And he said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That is, I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had said this, spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a boiled fish, and he ate it. And Jesus did this because he was trying to get his disciples to see. He was trying to get his disciples to see how real he was so that they could have confidence and be bold in him, what he asked them to do. And he says right here in verse 44, And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I yet was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he the understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and this is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And obviously that was the receiving of the Holy Ghost. But what I want you to know is that he says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And again, I just want to challenge us today that if we're not the ones going out to preach in his name, who will do it? He didn't look to anybody else. He looked to his disciples. He looked to those who had loved him and received him as Lord and Savior. And today the Lord is looking at us who have loved him and received him as Lord and Savior. And he's saying, if you're so worried about the world, don't forget the most important things. See, if we're not careful in today's world, we'll let TV, news, Facebook, and everything else get us so caught up in big things. And I'm not saying that there's not big things to pray about. What's going on in Ukraine? Hey, that's a very serious big thing to pray about. But while we're looking at that, I'm telling you that we can't lose focus on the most important thing. The most important thing is, who are we telling about Jesus? Because if we truly want to change the world, the nasty things and the ugly things and the hateful things in the world are going to exist. And the only way for those things to be affected is that as we worship, as we witness to people, and as they turn from wickedness and start worshiping Jesus, evil becomes less and good becomes more. The balance of good and evil is whether we as a church bring more good into people's lives than what the world is bringing in evil. And so we have to be the ones that are telling people and preaching Jesus and working with people and doing all we can to help them understand what God has done for us so that we can see people turn away from wickedness and turn right into those good things that are of the Lord. Amen? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to share just a couple stories with us today, and I just want to share these as reminders. And I'm going to look at John chapter 4. And what's powerful about John chapter 4 is it tells the story of Jesus meeting a woman at a well. And she was a Samaritan woman. And if you don't know this history, Jews and Samaritans didn't talk or get along. So the very fact that Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman was really against the rules and the laws at that time. But Jesus went to the well and he was thirsty and he's talking to this woman and he witnesses to her to the point that she becomes changed and she recognizes him as Messiah. And she realizes that Jesus is Messiah. She realizes that he's Lord of her life and he realizes the change that he's brought to her. So guess what she does? In John chapter 4, we're going to go to verse 27. And I'm going to read to you, and it says, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him." So I want you to see that it's reflected in the Bible that oftentimes as soon as people got their own change, the first thing they did was went and impacted someone else. Whether it was the leper getting healed, whether it was the blind man seeing, these people, after they got their experience, the first thing they would do is go and impact someone else. Amen? And so we want to make sure that we are people that go and we give an impact to someone else. Amen? And I'm just going to skip down here and read, I believe, a couple more verses here. Yep, I'm going to read just a couple more verses here. It says in verse 39, "Many of the Samaritans in that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Do you see what happened there? A disciple just made more disciples. Not only did they come out to hear what happened to her, but once they come on her experience to have their own experience with Jesus Christ, the bottom line was they were supernaturally changed. And they went to her and said, hey, at first we just came because of your words, but now we want you to know after experiencing Jesus, just like you told us, we now have our own faith. See, discipleship is something that sometimes we act as though it's foreign. We act as though it's something that should never take place. We act as though we don't have the ability to do it. But the ability to do it is just share your testimony. Those that are going to be changed by your testimony, they're going to respond. Just like this woman, she just went back to the city and told all men. She just told everybody she saw about this experience she had with Jesus. And as a result, those who were impacted by her came out, and as a result, they were supernaturally changed by what she did and what she said. And what we need to understand is that you are more than enough. Say, I'm enough. Say, I'm more than enough. See, I tricked you. I had to get you to believe you're enough first. Hallelujah. But listen to me. You are more than enough to be able to help change someone else's life. And I tell you what, the Lord is going to, and he has been putting you around people that need to hear this new side of your story. Some of you may have been going to church for 6 months, a year, 10 years, and there's still people around you that know you, and they don't know your story of faith. And I'm telling you that sometimes even when people ask you to pray for them, but then tell them, hey, can I just share with you a testimony of what the Lord has done for me? Pray for people, but share your testimony, because your testimony is what's going to help people come to know Christ and be changed and be delivered and be set free and find salvation for themselves. Amen? And so we just want you to dig in there and make sure that we're just doing our part to know the Lord. Amen? I want to share with you another testimony and another story out of the Bible. And this one is in Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, there's a young man that's possessed with a multitude of demons. And so if you read Mark chapter 5, you'll find out that eventually the Lord cast the devils out of this young man. And this young man was so set free that he went, and he had the same experience as this young lady did. And I just want to read to you Mark chapter 5, verse 17, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it. It says, and they began to pray him to depart from out of their coast. Because when Jesus cast the devil out of this young man, they went into swine and the swine drowned. Up to 2,000 of them drowned, which was big money back then. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. And tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, here's what's amazing about this young man. Again, we see that sometimes we wonder what the Lord really wants us to do, and the Lord really wants us to just tell our story of his touch on our life. Here, this man was set free from demons, and in today's world, we'd be scared to send him out and represent us. But as soon as this man was set free and came to himself, he said, Lord, what should I do now? And he said, oh, no, I want you to stay here, and I believe in you so much that those same friends and family that saw you suffering under demonic oppression, their lives are going to be supernaturally changed because they see you now functioning under the liberty of the Holy Ghost. And he said, so what I want you to do, young man, is I want you to take me and take all that I am and just take me right back to this same people who you were around and been around your whole life. And what's going to happen is they are going to know who I am through what you do and through what you give them. And so I want you to know again, what is the most important repertoire you have right now in your body? Obviously, it's the Lord. Hallelujah. We overcome and we're made strong because Christ in us is the hope of glory. And in Christ, we can do all things. Amen. And Christ who strengthens us. But what's next after that is Christ wrapped around your testimony. Christ wrapped around your words and your salvation and what happened to you and what took on your turn to a new person. Amen? Hallelujah. So this young man that was once demon-possessed, just within days, the Lord had him representing him and talking for him. And we're going to look and find another person that had a similar experience, and we're going to look in Acts chapter 9, and we're going to read about Saul. Acts chapter 9, it says, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go into this city, and it shall be shown, told thee, what you should do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and there did eat nor drink. He did not eat nor drink. Well, here we see Saul, who just within days, Saul was hating Christians and persecuting them. And within days, it turned around and he started witnessing to them. You know, I always love the story of Saul because Saul never backed up from what he did and never was embarrassed about how wrong he was before until he turned to right. And it says that there was a disciple that came and dealt with Saul, but I just want to read to you just a couple lines here in Acts chapter 9, verse 19. It says, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and come hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." Isn't it amazing that here not only do we see Saul get his name changed to Paul, but then within days he went from persecuting Christians to witnessing and preaching the same Jesus that they were preaching. Not only did that happen, but it says that when people railed against him for doing it, and he increased in strength. One of the things that's going to help you become stronger than ever in your pursuit of God is your testimony. Boldness to spread the gospel will cause you to have boldness in every other area. It immediately added strength to Paul. And now we know why Paul was able to do what he did and stay the course well into this thing and just hang on and never back up. You know, this is why Paul said, "Hey, I count those things as loss, those things of my past. I count them as dung, no value to me, that I might apprehend him who's apprehended me." Amen? Amen. And I tell you what, today the Lord needs us to be apprehending him. The Lord needs us to be pursuing of him. And the Lord needs us to tell our testimony more than we ever have and to share it openly. Amen? Amen. This is the Great Commission. This is the assignment that the Lord gave us after the disciples went up. One of the most power-active faith forces in the world is your testimony. One of the most powerful things you're ever going to do is share your testimony and let people hear it and let it be a witness to them to help change lives. Amen? Because this is what the disciples did, and this is what the disciples needed to do, and this is what brought forth the change that we have had in the world for so many years. One by one, line upon line, precept upon precept, people giving their testimonies and stories being written about Jesus and his goodness. Amen? Isn't it powerful to see today how many of these people, when Jesus said, well, he said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "Go share with your friends and your family and tell them about it." See, I want you to know that some of us don't realize it, but we are going to be a source to family and friends to help them get saved. Amen. And we're going to be a resource to help their life. And some of it is just letting them see you live, but a lot of it's going to be your witness and your testimony. There's people you've prayed for. I'm glad you prayed for them. But guess what? Along with your prayer, they need to hear what God has done for you. Yes. Amen? Yes. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift you up and exalt you today. God, we just declare your glory, Father. Lord, I just thank you for your abundance goodness, God. I thank you for your healing power and your love and your mercy. And God, I just declare your goodness. And with every eye still closed and every head still bowed, is there anyone in here today that is not saved and would just like to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Maybe you're backslidden, or maybe you've never prayed the prayer to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you're here and that's you today, just quickly lift your hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody say this prayer with me. We had somebody that raised their hand, and instead of having them come up here, I'm just going to say this prayer, and the Lord is going to be faithful as they say this prayer with us. Say, Father, I come to you. And in the name of Jesus, I need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, I want your help every day in living this life. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, you might be here today and you just might be someone who just needs to resurge. You just might need to be a person that just rededicates, that you have been a part of the church, but you've either grown a little weak or weary or just haven't been the same you. And I'm telling you that the Lord is just telling me that there's going to be some people that leave here today and press into God like they never have in the last 5 to 10 years. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, God is good, and he's healing and setting us free, and he loves each and every one of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. No prayer requests? Oh, yeah. We have some people out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just put people before you that have been suffering through sickness, God. And Lord, we just ask you right now to do healing, God. Father, heal and touch their bodies and souls, God, and just bring them back, God, to health and divine healing, Father. And Lord, let them have a testimony of how after we prayed for them, they were touched, God, and you healed. And Father, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let's give the Lord one more hand clap. God bless you guys, and we'll see you soon.